Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. I'm Joe Bender. Great to have you here today. It is just a stunning fall day here in Minnesota. I love this time of year. And Ted is once again wearing his Vikings wear, which is his favorite part about fall.
Oh, yeah. It's fun. I had a good time at the game last Sunday night, beating the Packers. It was always nice. Sorry, Madison. But, you know, it was fun.
That's okay. There were my son was telling me that there are lots of bets that go around with his friends and their parents if they have a divided household, and one of his friends lost the bet. Well, he has to do laundry and put the dishes in the dishwasher for a month.
High stakes for a month. Man, boy, I don't know if I'd engage in that behavior.
But I know.
Good it's for them.
It's a difficult bet to make and a difficult one to win, probably. Mm-hmm. Well, although across our nation here, especially here in the Midwest, we're seeing that this weather has caused some problems. It makes things very green, but this weather is causing a lot of problems with flooding. And I kind of like to go back to watching the news and the weather when it comes to things like this. But these flooding, even here in the Twin Cities metro area, has been just astounding.
Yeah, record rainfall. I mean, as they say, the 1-in-100-year flood. And, you know, people are pumping out their basements now and things like that, trying to dry out. So prayers for those folks, if that's affecting you, or prayers with you as well. You never know what's going to happen in life, though, right? I mean, something like that can happen. A storm comes out of nowhere. Unrest happening around the country, too, for various reasons. And, you know, anything can happen at any time.
And it does just feel a little, like you said, it feels unsettled. And how do we respond when we are forced to confront the unexpected? And is our faith rattled? Does it grow stronger? Do we find we're communicating a little bit more with God and spending more time with those that we love because we're so drawn to them? And that's kind of the subject of what we're going to talk about today, too. What do you do when your faith gets rattled a little bit? And so we'll talk with my friend Tani Cullen about what happened when her faith got rattled a little bit coming up in just a bit. But before we do that, John Stone Street has some really wise words for us today.
An unforgivable hit wasn't so unforgivable after all. For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. The opening week of the college football season gave us a real stunner. Unranked Wisconsin upset top 5-ranked LSU. More upsetting than the result, however, was a vicious after-the-play hit that LSU lineman Josh Butte put on Wisconsin's Dakota Dixon, who just made the game-winning interception. Fans took to social media to denounce Butte, demanding his suspension and even banishment from college football. But they didn't know, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. As Wisconsin Athletes in Action campus minister Brian Smith described, after the game, Butte called Dixon to apologize and express concern for Dixon's health. "We actually ended up praying together," Dixon said. "I prayed for him. We're friends now. I have his number and he has my number." Now, Butte was suspended for a game, and deservedly so. But repentance and forgiveness is, as Smith wrote, what the gospel looks like when lived out, even on a football field. With today's point, I'm John Stone Street.
Well, welcome back. Well, I have to tell you that I am just so excited for my guest today to welcome back my friend Tani Cullen to the show. If you've been listening for a while, you may be familiar with Tani's story of her son Josiah, who at 2 years old was diagnosed with what was termed severe autism at that time. The diagnosis and the years that followed kind of rocked Tani and her husband's faith. She tells us all about that in her new book, Josiah's Fire: Autism Stole His Words, God's gave him a voice. 5 years later, though, Josiah, who is nonverbal, has not been formally taught to read or write, suddenly starts typing out full sentences, poetry, some prophecy on an iPad. And that story has just amazed and wowed so many people, and also even some skeptics, in what God is able to do and how he is able to bring healing to families and to those who may be also affected by disease, as well as even injury, autism in this case, just the power of God and the power of faith. So we're going to chat a little bit about that with Josiah's mother, Tani Cullen. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Tani is a people lover. She's a blogger. She's a conference speaker. She brings a powerful message of hope and restoration. She always has, even before these things began happening with Josiah. She worked for 13 years at a multi-campus church in the Twin Cities of Minnesota, serving as a communications art specialist as well as a ministry director. She's a freelance marketer. She also performs in an original, live, hilarious variety show for women's events. Tanya and her producer husband, Joe, have created an award-winning documentary called Surprised by Autism. They live with their son, Josiah, in St. Paul, where they enjoy exploring Minnesota's museums and destinations. Welcome back, Tanya.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here. So much has happened since you and I talked last, and you said it was like 2 years ago. I feel like it was 6 months ago. It was not.
I know. Time flies.
Time flies. So I was just riveted by Tani's story because I got to hear it firsthand, and she and I had a cubicle across from each other at work, actually, at Eagle Brook Church. And so we'd get to chat about what was going on in each other's lives, and some amazing things began happening with Josiah. But everyone doesn't know kind of the backstory. So fill us in on maybe Josiah's early diagnosis and how that affected your family.
Sure. Well, my son Josiah was born in 2005, and he was a healthy, happy baby boy. And, you know, as first-time parents, we were just trying to do everything right. You know, we had a solid faith, solid friends, work was solid, and we bought our first home ready to start our family. And everything was really going well for about the first, you know, year and a half or so. But then about 22 months old, Josiah very suddenly started losing words. He stopped responding to his name. It was like we were losing him. He started losing play skills, and he would flip the light switch on, off, on, off, on, off. And we wondered what in the world was going on with our son. Well, after months of testing, we finally found ourselves around a boardroom table with doctors, and they gave us the pronouncement that we already knew in our heart was the case, and they said autism spectrum disorder. Along with that, it was no known cause, no known cure, lifelong.
And did they know at that point in time that Josiah would not speak again? You said he was kind of losing words. What kind of words was he saying, to give those of us a reference?
He probably had about 45 words at that time. You know, mama, dada, bumblebee, banana. Things that I had written in his journal before, you know, the baby journal. And when you go back and look at those, it's like your heart just breaks. And it was very difficult to sit there and hear that. And we didn't know at that point that he would be nonverbal. Really, what we did was do everything we could to mobilize very quickly, got him into the best therapy school that we could get him into, you know, 40 hours a week of therapy for a 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. We did special diets. We did as much biomedical type alternative treatments as we could, because there's really not a lot that the standard medical viewpoint has to offer. We did everything we could, but it was really at age 5 that we found that addendum to the diagnosis, and that was nonverbal, severe, and low functioning, despite all our best efforts.
So what does that do to a parent, knowing that you don't get to hear basic things from, you know, what foods he likes, to what his favorite color is, to the cartoon that he wants to watch? What does that do just to your mind, to your heart, to know that you're never going to have those conversations with him?
It's extremely difficult. I mean, you try to make the best of it, certainly, but you're throwing yourself so much into research and trying to just figure out how to reach him. And I kept just tripping toward hope is all I could say. You know, when the world says you need to cope with this and accept this, I just couldn't, when I would open up God's word and see his promises, I couldn't accept that I just needed to cope with what was going on, especially when you have a child's destiny in your hands. And so I started just speaking life over Josiah. I started, even though it was difficult to, you know, when you can't have conversations with your child, sometimes you even stop talking to them. But I just kept speaking life and destiny words and scriptures over him and singing over him and pressing into God. I mean, that's really all I could do. I literally kept tripping in God's direction. It's not even a story of amazing, great faith or anything. It's really a story of, in the low times, going, God, if your word says you're there and you hear, I have to believe that, or else I'm just going to walk away altogether.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the therapists you said said, well, you do need to be talking to him. You said you'd kind of just not had a conversation. And he or she, I can't remember which therapist it was, but said, you need to be having conversations and talking about what you see and what you're doing, and that he actually is hearing all of those things.
Yes. Yeah, so I ended up going to, I saw a documentary called A Mother's Courage, and that's really what broke a lot of things open. In this documentary, there was a woman who was teaching kids how to learn and how to spell, and it had this idea that assume age-level intelligence. And really, a lot of people think that these kids who have autism or are nonverbal don't think at an intelligent level, like they have toddler mindsets, but that's really not the case. So when I saw that, I decided that I was going to see if anybody around here did that. I made a trip to Green Bay, Wisconsin, and learned how to do this method where, yeah, she said, assume age level intelligence. And he's not really a visual learner. He's an auditory learner. You need to talk to him as if you're talking to someone who is blind. Describe everything that you're seeing, over talk to him, if anything. And yet what I had really been taught and advised was really keep, you know, your sentences simple. Want cookie? Go to the bathroom, you know, just very simple. And I can't believe what joy that brought to my heart, and also Josiah's response when I just started talking to him like he was 7 years old.
Well, we're going to hear a little bit more about that method and that therapy that Tani did bring Josiah to learn how to communicate with him and the amazing result that followed. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Connecting Faith, thanks so much for joining us today. We picked some songs about fire because we are talking to author Tani Cullen today about her book, Josiah's Fire. Autism stole his words. God gave him a voice. In fact, Tani, the name Josiah has something to do with fire. Why don't you talk a little bit about that and how that came to be that you learned the meaning?
Yeah, so actually when we were deciding to name Josiah, I had seen that it meant fire of the Lord. And I always loved that.
Sure.
But it's amazing how that name really became almost like a prophetic declaration over him. But yet at the same time, it was like his pilot light went out, you know? So holding on to that and even singing over him, Josiah, the fire of the Lord is upon you. Josiah, God is mighty to save. He is a healer. You know, it all kind of came into the story. Josiah, every time I would say his name, I was saying fire of the Lord.
It's just so wonderful, God's divine provision, even when we don't know about it. Well, Josiah's Fire is about, of course, a little boy named Josiah who at age 2 was diagnosed with severe autism. He was nonverbal, difficulty, of course, communicating with anyone, especially his parents. But Tani Cullen, his mother, engaged in so many different therapies to just try to bring some sort of communication between she and him. And the latest was what's called the rapid prompt method. And this happened when he was 7 years old. Tani?
I'm sorry, it was about 6. Yeah.
Okay. And so what was it? And then what happened?
So I ended up going to learn about this method and came home. And of course, you know, it's a lot more difficult when you're doing it yourself and you're trying to do this. And he was, you know, not the most apt student to want to do
because at this point it's hard to even get him to sit in one place for any period of time, correct?
That's right. So his body and his sensory system, I mean, even to this day, it's like it takes a lot to just get him to sit down and communicate. But one night, it was about a year into this, we're sitting at the table. And up to that point, we had made some progress, and I really knew he was in there, but he had only maybe spelled one, you know, simple single words up to that point. And so I'm sitting there with him, and I'm reading him from the children's Bible. And so I read him where it talks about how Jesus healed the blind man. And Then I came back and I said, Josiah, Jesus healed the blind man. What did Jesus do? Did he H-E-A-L heal the blind man, or did he P-L-A-Y play with the blind man? You write that on a sheet of paper, rip the paper in half, tap heal, tap play. He picks the one that says heal correctly. And I have the iPad up. There's also stencil boards and different things to use, but I was using the iPad as well. And it had an app on it that had alphabetical letters all in big buttons. And so he presses G. I was like, oh, he's missing it. Then he presses O. I'm like, go. He goes on to write and type his first independently sourced sentence, God is a good gift giver.
By the story of the blind man.
Yes. And that's when our life took a radical shift.
What did you do at that point? I mean, you had to be astounded.
I felt like I was on candid camera, or maybe I had cracked or something, you know, was I working too hard or what was going on here? I felt like something divine had somehow intercepted our lives. And I said, Josiah, that's right. You know, it wasn't like I went around saying that phrase or anything. I said, how do you know this? He goes on to type, God is very capable. And again, this child has not written these sentences before.
He hasn't written any sentences before. Maybe one word here and there.
Exactly. Things like colors, like, you know, blue, brown, blue, that sort of thing. And so this just continued all that weekend. I just kept asking him all sorts of questions, you know, simple questions. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite cartoon character? All of those things. But as time progressed, he was sharing things that were astounding to me, things that I didn't know, things that he didn't know. I asked him, how do you know this stuff? And how can you write so properly? And he typed to me one day that Jesus teaches me the order of sounds. And I was like Jesus give you hooked on phonics or what is going on? And it just continued in this mysterious way where this is not really on my spiritual grid what's happening here, but my heart is opening more and more knowing that there is something supernatural going, that not only is God a good gift giver, but he's a good gap filler in places I can't reach.
So to back up a little bit, so part of this therapy is that a student may have a big board that has all the letters. They may be able to hit those letters. You happen to use an iPad. It looks sort of like a typewriter, except with bigger letters. They're able to type things on that iPad, and you're able to save all those things, of course,
right,
on your iPad, which makes it even more amazing. And Josiah was not trained like most of our children are in kindergarten, where you learn how to put words together, what the sounds are. The therapies that he was in as a child diagnosed with severe autism are very different than any experience our kids would have had in school, correct?
Right. A lot of, you know, touch the red square and a lot of stacking and matching.
So it makes it even all the more outstanding and astounding that he's able to put these sentences together for you.
Yeah. And as time progressed, he was sharing things of like heaven somehow and wisdom words and just profound things. Things like faith is believing for kites to fly when there's no wind in sight. Just one thing after the other. Faith is picture it done. And I'm like, God, are you speaking to him? How is he hearing these things? How is he seeing these things? And really the book goes into so many amazing episodes that we have as this communication opens up, just one thing after the other. It's astounding to me even.
Well, it kind of makes you think, you know, sometimes we have these prayers that we're praying for whatever it is that we think we need at the time, whether it's healing or for something to be done or for someone to forgive, or we have our idea of what we need. And this was almost like God was listening to all of your prayers of what he thought, what you thought that you need. And then he gave you something completely different, and it actually was exactly what you needed.
Yeah, it really makes me think a lot about how Jesus talks about the kingdom. You know, the kingdom is love and joy and peace and righteousness and the Holy Spirit. And yet these are things that get inside a person deep in their souls, despite the circumstances that are happening in front of their faces. That Jesus said that I would leave you peace And this peace isn't like what the world has to give you. These are things that I began to start experiencing, and wounds began to heal, and even our marriage relationship began to heal. Our relationships began to heal as God kind of invaded our space.
I think that was one of my favorite parts of the book, is you wrote about Josiah giving you, his mom, some direction on what you needed to do. I'm going to read this little part. You said that you were kind of asking, well, what's on your mind? And he said, be prudent in last month in having a mission statement. It is essential others know. Sell yourself, eat diet food, love life, make a plan, argue new strong leads of quiet moms, repair marriage, tell mothers to quit pleading, to rise up in victory.
Yeah.
This is from, how old is he when he's doing this?
He was 7 and a half. Yeah.
It was 7 and a half. So how did that change
you? My job. I mean, you know, if people wonder if this is for real, it's like what you see in the book, you know, you just got to look at the fruit, you know, you got to look at the people and the things that we're doing, because we really feel like God is speaking. We're trying to discern this stuff, and it's even harder to do it when you're like, this doesn't make logical sense. How do I keep holding on to faith? And yet, how could my little 7-year-old even come up with something like that? Mm-hmm. Now, if I would have listened to the diet food thing, I probably would have been farther along right now. But
that's why it's so amazing, because we do think that for something to the things that we pray for, we think logically. We think with our own brains. We think with our own logic minds. And yet that's totally different than what faith actually is. And Josiah's been able to encapsulate that.
I really think that there are a couple of scriptures that I look at a whole different way now. And one is, God uses the simple things in this world to confound and astound the wise. And also looking back at how Jesus says, you have to have faith like a little child, or you're just not going to get it. You're not going to see the kingdom of heaven.
Hmm. It's kind of like those questions that your kids ask where you're like, shh, shh, because you don't want them to say those things out loud. And yet hear these things he is saying out loud. Josiah is listening. He doesn't have a filter. He tells you automatically what he hears from the Lord.
Exactly. And I think that this isn't just a story for people who are touched by autism. I mean, what I'm finding is, more people outside of having an experience with autism are getting something out of this, and even being able to look at their own children in a different way and learn from them. I mean, we can learn from one another. They just have perspectives that we don't have.
Mm. I'm talking to Tani Cullen today. She's a mother and an author of Josiah. She's written just a wonderful memoir called Josiah's Fire. Autism stole his words. God gave him a voice. We'll hear more stories about Josiah, but Tani has also graciously provided some books to give away. If you know someone, and that someone must be in your mind right now, who you think would benefit from receiving one of these books, well, we'd love to get that in your hands. You can give Carissa a call at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484, or just go to myfaithradio.com and click on Connecting Faith. You can submit your name and address right there on our show page, and we'll be able to have a drawing at the end of the show. I hope you'll get one of these books. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Joe Bender, and in studio today with me is Tani Cullen. She's authored a book called Josiah's Fire. Autism stole his words. God gave him a voice. Tani's backstory is that she has a son who at 2 years old was diagnosed with what they termed as severe autism, was nonverbal until about the age of 6. Well, I guess he's still nonverbal, but he's figured out a way to communicate with his mom and others, and has some very amazing things to share just due to God's divine presence in his life. we've been talking to Tani about how that happened. And one of the things that's amazing about the book is just the many stories that Tani shares on how Josiah has brought some things to light that she may not have thought about before, and his insight into, I guess, what she would term as heavenly things. Tani, one of the chapters that was so amazing was when you asked Josiah to explain a little bit about the Trinity, something that seems to be a mystery for many of us or hard to explain, even though we know it's true. It's still hard to put into words. Tell me a little bit about that experience.
Well, actually, Joe, I didn't ask him to explain the Trinity, and it wasn't even on my mind. So, in fact, I really don't sit around thinking how that works. So one night in the middle of the night, and unfortunately, he is up in the middle of the night a lot, and he types on his iPad, "God wants to show you about the triune God now, Mom." And I'm like, okay. And he goes on to type, "In the Trinity, the Father is the manager. The Son is the lover of operations. The Holy Spirit is worker. So it's three in one, getting things done. The world was created only by three functions that went like this. Father thought it. Son loved it. Holy Spirit carried out the plan. That is how Trinity works, Mom. Father, Son, Holy Spirit lack nothing. They all talk together about how things should go. Life is simple if you know He is Papa, He is Healer, He is Helper." He goes on to say, "Man must voice, Father, what do you think? Jesus, what do you love? Spirit, what should we do about it? This is your mission. Do what Father thinks and what Jesus loves and what Spirit tells."
This must just blow your mind when you're reading this.
Completely. I mean, honestly, it's so in the middle of the most mundane things. I mean, he can be typing something and then it's like, oh, I have to get up and he wants ice cream or something. And he's leaving you with a cliffhanger and you're like, please finish. It's not a pretty process. But what is being shared is I just have a sense of awe and wonder of God that causes me, when I'm just out and about in everyday life, to notice God more, to be more aware. And the more aware we are of Him and His Spirit and how He's working, the more we are aware of Him. You know, it just perpetuates.
Well, and you have said from the very beginning that this story, even though it's about Josiah, that this story is not about Josiah. This story is about God and what He's able to do through those who are willing to listen and act. And so as you go around and tell these stories, what is it that you want people to know above anything else?
Well, I think that there's really a war for our hearts right now, our hearts' affections. For one thing, for many years, I was in awe of autism. Like, I had never seen anything like it. Where's the solution? I'm just trying to figure out how to help. And it's such a big giant, right? It's such a huge, like you can picture Goliath taunting you. And yet there's the other side that says, God says, "I want you to awe me." You can be in awe and be crushed by the report of the doctors, by the report of the diagnosis, the label, whatever that is. Or you can be in awe and believe the report of the Lord. What are you going to decide? Because that there's a heart choice there. And to me, that is the very essence of what faith is.
Well, it really makes you think about how we as followers, we sometimes get caught up in this. What does God want me to do? What's my calling? What's this grand thing that I'm supposed to do? And here we find God just using the faithfulness of those who know Him, yourself, your husband, your son. And He's able to work through those who know Him and are willing to reach so many other people, that the calling may not be something grand. The calling may be to just do what He asks you to do.
Yeah, and so much, you know, I came to identify with those parents in the Bible, you know, the Hannahs, the Sarahs, the Jairuses, you know, people that they so desperately, there was some connection where they wanted God to move on their child. And I just so think about how Jesus, when facing Jairus, who they come up, and Jairus is so desperate for Jesus to come help his dying daughter. And they come up and say, "Don't bother the master. She's already dead." Mm. And at that moment, Jairus has a decision to make. Jesus looks at him and says, "Don't worry. Just believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe." Imagine how easy it will be for Jairus to just fall apart and not believe that there's any more hope. But there is never a lack of hope when it comes to Jesus. He is the God of the impossible.
So as you look at what's next and what maybe you'll be able to pray for as it applies to your family, to Josiah, to your marriage, to things that have changed so much in the last 3 or 4 years, have your prayers changed a little bit?
Absolutely.
And how?
Yeah, my prayers have changed so very much. For one thing, I just feel like I'm not trying to be formulaic about anything. Like, you know, for a long time, it was like, what am I not saying right? What am I not praying right? You know, what kind of hokey pokey do you want me to do, God, to get you to do something here? Now it's like, okay, this is a relationship with God. God knows the design and the destiny he has for my child, for me. And, you know, when it comes to autism, autism is no longer king. Josiah still has the symptoms of autism, but it's not king. Jesus Christ is king. Mm. And that's a real heart shift. It shifts the way we look at things. It shifts the way we pray. And it actually has brought so much opening in our lives to be joyful again and to hook to the peace that is available to us in Christ. And, you know, our children feel that when we let go of some of that stress and pressure, I believe that it opens them up. And what I have been praying is what Josiah advises to pray. When we see people who are dealing with all sorts of sicknesses, Jesus says, pray, limits off your life in Jesus' name. What does that look like exactly? I don't know, but he knows. He knows what limits off looks like. And it says in God's word, the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. So regardless of if Josiah is ever cured, if Josiah is ever completely restored, that's not so much what I'm going for anymore. What I'm going for is, God, what do you say about my son? Let him walk in it all of his days.
Well, I know parents are going to be encouraged by that, by knowing that it may not be something specific like we were talking about earlier that they think they need or their child needs. And you've just been so good about kind of opening that up for people to understand that God wants good gifts for his people.
Exactly. You know, James 1:17 says he is the father of lights and every good and perfect gift comes from above.
As you're going through just writing and doing a lot of interviews on your book, what have you found has been eye-opening for you, maybe something that you did not expect?
Well, like I said, I really thought I had a particular audience in mind when I wrote this book. I'm thinking other parents who are dealing with autism are probably going to reach into this book. And actually what I'm finding is people that are in the new age, people that may not even believe in God in this way are really looking into this and they're kind of, their worlds are being rocked. I mean, I've even had atheists contact me and go, okay, I don't know. I don't believe this stuff. You know, I don't believe in God and things like that, but this is fascinating me. I'm not sure quite what to do with this. Mm. I think what it is that I'm just simply sharing the testimony. And I'm not preaching to anybody. People can read the story and they can discern themselves what they want to take away from it. And I think that's the beauty of this memoir style, which Cheryl Ricker, who wrote this book with me, she has been able to bring this out in a very accessible way, just beautifully, the voice of this story. And to me, it allows people to read it in such a way that it's like it's interesting, it's dynamic, but really how is the Holy Spirit going to speak to them personally?
Mm, and that's really the amazing part of it, is it really does read just like a story. And you and Cheryl have both done a great job at presenting it that way, because you really want to keep turning the page and seeing what it is that happens. But within that, you're seeing God at work, not only in Josiah's life, but in your life and in the life of other people that you both come in contact with. And the other thing that I notice is that you are still talking very openly about the struggles of being a parent with autism, or a parent with a child with special needs of any sort, that these things do not go away, but that because of what you're seeing and the hope that God has given you, you're able to get through those challenging times as well.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, a lot of times when you get a diagnosis or you're faced with something like this, it feels like someone has told you to put your gas pedal to the metal and then they've thrown on the emergency brake. You burn up your best resources, your emotional resources, your physical resources, your financial resources, your spiritual resources, your relational resources. But, you know, this is the thing, is that I've really tried to be extremely authentic. It's hard to be vulnerable with all the good and the bad and the bizarre and the out there, and just be true. Mm. And yet we're doing that. And I would hope to, because of the marriage relationships that, you know, a lot of people who have special needs situations, marriages are really, really put to the test. I hope that they'll see some of that emerge in this story as well, about just how my husband and I have had to navigate through really difficult things, and how God has been there with us as we just continue to press in.
Mm. Well, Tani Cullen, we just thank you for spending some time with us today, and also for writing this story down so that all of us can be encouraged and hopeful, and just grateful for the way that God is working in the life of Josiah and in your family and in all of us through you. So thank you so much for putting it into words. If you don't have a copy of Josiah's Fire, I suggest you go to Amazon or any bookseller or christianbook.com and make sure that you get a copy of it. We've, of course, exhausted all of the ones that we have here on the show. It's just a wonderful story. It's a wonderful heart that Tani shares, and her co-author, Cheryl Ricker, as well. Tani, thanks for joining us today. And we wish you the best of luck as you continue to tell this story.
Thanks so much. And may I say, we have a Facebook page called Josiah's Fire. Please go there to stay connected.
Absolutely. We'll put that as a link on our website as well, so you can get some of those great sayings of Josiah and be able to read those for yourself in the days to come. We will be right back on Connecting Faith.
This world can be cold and bitter. It feels like we're in the dead of winter.
Flame, and make it grow, so there is no
Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Sorry, I'm stuttering a little bit today. We are having some trouble with me knowing what I'm doing. Really, nothing else. Just me knowing what I'm doing. Well, I'm very excited because we have a new special feature for the show, which I'm just getting my head around. Thank goodness that Dr. Bill Meyer is here today to help me. Dr. Bill Meyer is going to be joining us every other week to talk about important issues that are occurring in our world today, from anything from parenting to education, Christianity, and culture. We'll talk a little bit about how modern culture is affecting us and affecting our kids. But if you don't know Bill Meyer, let me tell you a little bit about him. He's a child and family psychologist with extensive experience in parent training and education. He does our morning show here on Faith Radio, and so you should listen in the morning. He's also particularly interested in cultural trends on child development and family. And today, Bill, we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to talk a little bit about parents and kids, because we're going to talk a little bit about drug use and alcohol and how that's affecting our families. So tell me a little bit about, why this subject is particularly interesting and how it's impacting our families.
I'm really concerned, Joe, because we have so many young people now who are experimenting with marijuana. The numbers are really going off the charts. I was just looking, the Centers for Disease Control says marijuana use is growing like weeds. Yeah, they basically said that about 2.5 million Americans used marijuana for the first time in 2014, and even more probably in 2015 and this year. That is 7,000 new pot users every day in America. Mm-hmm. And a big part of that is because of the legalization push. You know, the pro-marijuana folks have managed in several states to get marijuana legalized. First, they start with medicinal marijuana. And other than perhaps the treatment for people that are on chemo and having some, you know, positive effect there, there's really no evidence that medical marijuana can replace other drugs that are much safer. And then, of course, the pro-marijuana folks then moved from the medicinal marijuana to recreational use, like we see in Colorado. And it is really wreaking havoc with families, college students, Joe. I mean, listen to this. According to the University of Michigan, the use of marijuana by college students is on the rise. The proportion of college students who reported using marijuana in the past year is now 40%, out of 10. So you go into a classroom, any college classroom in America, hopefully not at a Christian college, but any secular college classroom, 4 out of 10 of those young people, typically what, between the ages of, you know, 18, 22, have used marijuana in the last year.
What's the most dangerous aspect of this? Is it college students or even people younger than college who are maybe trying or marijuana for the first time? Or is this really affecting adults who have their own children and are running their own households, who are getting the perception that, hey, this is just another way to entertain ourselves?
I think it's both. I think there's a lot of adults, particularly younger adults, who are using marijuana, don't see a problem with it. They've bought into this myth that marijuana is safer than alcohol, that it doesn't have any long-term effects. But we're seeing more and more research that marijuana is not safe. It has both short-term and long-term effects. And we're also beginning to see that the impact on the developing adolescent brain could be, in other words, that the brain, which is, you know, at that point, very malleable. It's changing. It's growing. We believe the brain is, the frontal lobes of the brain aren't fully matured and probably till the mid-20s now. These kids that are smoking pot on a regular basis, we don't know how long-term this is going to affect them as adults. So it's very frightening stuff.
So what could be our response, what should be our response as parents of teenagers, college kids, or even to our own spouses?
Well, the first thing you do with your kids is you start talking about this early and often. And for Christian kids, for Christian parents talking to their kids, I think one of the first things to do is talk to them about how they are beautifully, wonderfully made by God, how much He treasures them. You know, the Bible says He made us a little lower than the angels. He crowns us with glory and honor. The Holy Spirit has been given to us as a gift inside of us. He sent His Son to die for us. So the kids really understand how valued they are by God. But then say, there's this thing called the sin nature, and it makes us vulnerable to temptation and peer pressure. And I think we have to start talking to our kids really early now about, you know, if a kid offers you a drug, marijuana, alcohol, we need to teach them how to assertively and graciously say no.
And really having those conversations allows us to give them a chance to think, what would I do if I were in that situation? Instead of having them have that situation and not have thought about what they would do.
Exactly. Practicing in advance is really important. And then I think scripture, this is really interesting. I was talking to some parents and they said they have a son who is 19 years old, who smokes marijuana regularly. He lives in their home and he justifies it by saying, and get this, he says, well, in Genesis 9:3, it says that God has given us every green herb of the earth. And so, you know, he's blessed every herb of the earth. And so he's basically telling his mom and dad, so God must, you know, bless cannabis, must bless marijuana. Well, I encouraged them. I said, remind him there's a lot of verses, first of all, about drunkenness. But there's also, you know, 1 Peter 4:7 says, be clear-minded and self-controlled, right? And 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Why? Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking somebody to devour. So I think for our Christian kids to be able to say to them, the Bible does speak about these things, and we need to take them seriously if we're going to follow Christ.
Well, we're grateful to be able to talk to Dr. Bill Meyer, not only every other Friday here on Connecting Faith, but if you want to hear a little bit more from Bill, you have a chance every morning, Monday through Friday. He's on from 6 to 8 o'clock in the morning on weekdays, Central Standard Time, of course, and also at 11 o'clock on Saturday mornings, part of that show. Bill, what's been your favorite part about doing the morning show here on Faith Radio?
Wow, we've had so many great guests, and I learned so much, Joe, every week, whether we're talking to a pastor or an author or a political leader. I just am growing. And as I know you probably feel the same way when you do the Friday show, you walk away going, wow, I learned something new today. And hopefully our listeners are learning something new as well and learning how to apply their faith to their everyday life.
Well, and I love you do that so well on your show. It's kind of like, okay, now that you know what you know, what are we going to do about it? Yeah. And so we get to leave that show when we listen in the morning of yours just thinking, well, now what is it that I should be doing? What is it that God's calling me to do now that I know what I know? And now that we know what we know about the prevalence of marijuana use in families, children, college students, what is it that we're going to do about it? And that's really good food for thought as we head into the weekend.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Bill, for being here. And if you would like to learn more, of course, about Bill's show, you can go on our website at myfaithradio.com. We'll have him on 2 weeks from today, and we'll have another great subject to talk about that will help us know not only what we need to know, but what we are going to do in the future.
Searching for God's will can sometimes be a challenge, can't it? Hi, I'm Steve Douglas, and today on Making Your Life Count, Larry DeWitt recalls a time of deep searching in his life.
When I see young people whose lives are confusing to them, and they don't have a sense of hope, and they're doing the wrong things, my heart just reaches out because that was me. I see myself in all of that. But as a senior in college, I had this desire to study God's Word, and my dad died the last week of my college life.
And his dad's dying words had a profound effect on him.
And he said to me his last words, if you're going to serve God, you do it with all your heart. And that was the last I heard of my dad. So rather than feel like that was a terrible disservice that God did, I felt like he gave me the greatest motivation in life. I've said to lots of young people since then who've lost a parent, said, well, now you have a choice to make. You're going to be bitter or better, but that's your choice.
Remember, God can use you to be a light for him.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today and listening to Connecting Faith. Again, I want to thank my guests, Tawny Cullen and Dr. Bill Meyer, for sharing with us not only some of the truth of how God is working in their lives, but how God can work in our lives as well. We thank you for joining us on Connecting Faith. Please join us on Monday. I'm back again, and Lee Strobel is my guest for Monday. Very excited to talk about the new re-release of his book, The Case for Christ. Always great to talk about evidence for our faith and how we can communicate to others based on what we know and His Holy Spirit in us. Thanks again for joining us for Connecting Faith. Have a great weekend.